Actually, Heather here, she's part of this congregation, and we just have her. She sings with us up there. So, but the others are all from over at Rhema and the other Rhema. Well, you know, there's I don't know how many there's Rhemas all over the world. so you're just a part of a worldwide network all over the world. Praise God. Now, I don't want to, you know, I teach all these messages, and then they take them and they transcribe them and they put them into books, and sometimes I don't go back and preach them again. And so here lately I've said, well, hey, that's all my material, and it's good stuff. So my notes tonight are off of chapter 1 in my book, The Untapped Power of Praise. Anybody ever read my book, Untapped Power of Praise? I got three people here that's read it. That book came about because the Lord began to deal with me, and he said, my people are not missing it because they don't know the word. They're not missing it because they don't have faith. He said, they're missing it in their praise life. And so I put together those messages on praise, called it The Untapped Power of Praise. Actually, the first chapter is the praise cure. And, you know, if you think back in history, there's been many cures that people have said that through the ages, you know, all kinds of old-fashioned home remedies, and sometimes I think some of them are the best and to the most modern-day thing we have. And, you know, they've been wonder cures of all kinds that have been propagated through all the years. You know, many years ago, I heard about, actually, I read about it in the Life magazine, I think, years and years ago. So it has to be a long time ago because Life hadn't been around in a long time. But it was called the barefoot cure. The proponents of this cure, you went barefooted all the time. You never wore shoes. You went barefooted all the time. Rain, shine, sleet, snow, cold, hot. And if you did this, it provided a complete cure for any kind of sickness or disease that there was. Well, I don't think so. You know, and then they were doing, and it was in that same magazine, it was called the mud bath cure. And it showed pictures of people in these mud baths up to their neck. Now, these mud baths were supposed to cure anything from the common cold to cancer. That didn't work either. And if you study history in the early days of this nation, you had these guys with their little wagon, and they were called medicine men, and they traveled all over pushing their concoction, their bottled wonder cure, supposed to cure everything. And I remember as a kid down there in Texas, out of my grandma and grandpa's farm, people would come by all the time trying to sell different things, you know, trying to sell this one and this and that and the other. And there was some that was legitimate, though. I think one of them was called Watkins guy would come by. He had all kinds of, anybody know about that? They had all kinds of stuff, you know. And, I remember one that used to come by, even there, and when I was a kid and then even a teenager there in Garland, the Fuller Brush Man would come by and try to sell you all these brushes, you know. But these cures have been going on, and some of them are very costly. But I'm going to talk to you about a cure that doesn't cost anything. It's the greatest cure ever known to mankind. It's the greatest deliverance. It's the greatest provision, and it's simply just by praising God, thanking God for what he's done for you. Now, praising God is an offensive weapon. In 2 Chronicles 21 through 4, we read about Israel. Their enemies were rising up to destroy them during the reign of Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. So the Israelites and the king Jehoshaphat were greatly afraid because the Moabites and the Amorites had come against them. And Jehoshaphat called a fast and proclaimed a fast to seek God. And then as they were praying, God spoke through Jehazel with instructions of his strategy to defeat the enemy. So if you want to turn there in 2 Chronicles 20:14, we'll start reading. Now, we're going to, in the first part of that, it tells us all about what's happening, but then we're going to pick up where. Then up on Jehazel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, you, all Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in the battle." But then he says to set yourself, in other words, get yourself ready for battle. "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, be not dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites, the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice. Now, here was the Lord telling them exactly where the enemy was. They didn't need, for us that have been in the military, we know that you would send out a reconnaissance team to try to find the strength of the military and where they're at and where they're at. But the Lord told them, said, "Hey, they're right here." They told him exact spot. And then God gave them a strategy. He said, set yourself, in other words, get yourself ready for battle, but you're not going to have to fight. Stand still and see the salvation, or see me do it for you. Now, so here they are, and we drop down here, 2 Chronicles 20, go to 20, verse 20. They rose up early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, who should praise the beauty of the holiness as they went out before the army, and saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." Now here we are with the army. It says out before the army. They got the army out there. Here's all these guys. I've been in the army. I know how to get in ranks and so forth. And they're out there, and they're going to march. But now he stops and says, "Now, wait a minute. We need the singers up here." And he put them out in front of the army to sing praises. You see, we need to learn to take up our position of praise. You know, now, notice that God didn't give them a defensive strategy against the enemy. He gave them an offensive strategy, but it wasn't to throw the javelin or to pull the bow and shoot an arrow. It wasn't to pull out the sword and go into hand-to-hand combat. It was simply praising him. He said, "You're not going to have to fight, but get yourself ready." So they had the army there, but they're not going to fight. So they put the singers out there. And in other words, he was saying to them, "Don't worry about this. Do what I tell you and praise me, and you'll see me work." Now, I imagine that some of those old soldiers that had fought many battles thought the king had gone crazy. I mean, since when do you put the choir out in front of the army if you're going out to a battle? Yeah. That don't make sense. You know, sometimes when God says some things, even as you read it in the Word of God, it didn't make sense, but it worked because God said it. You know. Now, you imagine all these guys. You got the javelin throwers, you got the archers, you got all the mighty men of valor in their ranks, ready to battle. But then he says, now wait a minute, you're not going to have to fight. So now put the choir, call the choir out here, get the choir up here. And so as they start marching, they're singing, praise the Lord for his mercy endureth forever. Now, that's all it says that they did. But I wonder if they didn't go back and get and sing song as they were going, sing Psalms 136. You might want to turn there. Because you remember, the Psalms was Israel's prayer book and song book. That's what the Psalms were. And so in Psalms 136, each refrain ends with, for his mercy endureth forever. And actually, it's divided into sections. The first section praises God for who he is. And starting out there in verse 1, oh, give thanks to the Lord of the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. They were thanking and praising God for who he was, his greatness, for his greatness. Now the second part is talking about how God delivered them. Now can you see them as they're marching? Here they are. And they go, who struck down Egypt in their firstborn for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endureth forever. They're marching. Here they are. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. And overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. They were marching. But as they were marching, they were praising God. You know, the Israelites were marching toward the enemy, but praising God. You know, if you ever been in the army, I got any military people here? I've been in the army, and I know he's been in the Marines. Now, you start marching, and you got to, I was the last training regiment to train in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, with the old M1 rifle. That M1 rifle weighed 9 3/4 pounds. With a mounted bayonet, it weighed 10 1/4 pounds. And you got that thing, and you holding it here as you march. You got a pack on your back, and they got them new helmets now, that real light stuff. We had what you call a steel pot, we called it, and then it had a liner inside of it. But man, you could boil water in that thing. You could do what about anything with that thing. And it was heavy too, but here we were. We'd start marching. Now we on a long march, and they would start singing. And what did singing do? It got your mind off of how tired you were, how many steps you'd gone, and you just started marching. And here they are. They're marching and they're singing, and they begin to focus on God. And as they begin to focus on God, they begin to forget about the enemy. They just marching and singing God, singing praises. That third part of that song, here it is. It starts recounting all of the victories that they had won. Verse 16, to him who led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who struck down great kings, for his mercy endureth forever, and slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Shihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. Now, who's coming out against them? That was one of the people that's coming against them was the Amorites, right? Here they're singing about how that the Amorites have been defeated. And then it says, and Og, king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever, and gave their land as a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. A heritage to Israel, his servant, for his mercy endureth forever, who remembered us in our lowly state, for his mercy endureth forever, and rescued us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever, who gives food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. There they were, marching and singing about their great God and what he had done for them. Now, as they were rehearsing these past victories, and as they were praising God, their mind was no longer on the enemy, but it was on God and what God had done. And their faith grew strong. Now, let's see how effective God's military strategy was. Go back over there to 2 Chronicles 20. Go back over to 2 Chronicles 20 and pick up in verse 22nd, the 22nd verse. And when they began to sing, the Lord set ambushments, again the children of Ammon, Moab and Mount Seir, which had come against Judah, and they were smitten. For all the children of Ammon, which is the Amorites, and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So when Judah came to the watchtower in the wilderness, now, what they would do when they had battles, they would build, we would send, in the military, you set out sentries that is on your perimeter to watch for anything coming your direction. They built watchtowers that they would climb up in, and they would look out across there to see anybody that was coming up on their camp. But when they got to the watchtower in the wilderness, it said, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them an abundance of riches with the dead bodies, precious jewels, which they stripped off of them, more than they could carry away. They were 3 days in gathering up the spoil. It was so much. Now, let me give you a little history lesson here. You go back and you study world history, you will find out that when these armies went out to do battle, they took with them gold and silver, changes of raiment, everything that they might need for months, because they didn't know. And they would have to barter. They had the money, the gold and the silver to buy supplies and so forth. You know, we have, if you've been in the service, you're only as good as your supply line. If you lose your supply line, you're toast, because you got no more ammunition. You got no more food. You got nothing. In fact, you know, there's a movie out. It's called The Red Ball Express, and it's about General Patton with his tanks. He took off across there, and he outrun his fuel supply, and they had to get what they called the Red Ball Express, and it was nothing but truck after truck hauling them fuel and coming back and going and refueling. And finally, he outran them and actually lost a battle because he outran his fuel supply. And the tanks were dead. They couldn't go anywhere. They didn't have any fuel. They couldn't move. They couldn't maneuver. So here they had all of this stuff. They had so much stuff, so much gold and silver, so many clothes and raiment, so much food, that it took them 3 days to gather it up and carry it back to the city. You know, now, this all happened as the singers led the army and began to praise God. The enemy turned against one another, and when they got there, they didn't have to fight. It was all over. And he told them, watch me work. That's what he said in our language. He told them, watch me work. Now, I don't know what happened. But I just wonder if maybe God took big speakers, put them down on top of that camp, and they heard them coming and singing about what God had done for them and how God had delivered their forefathers, that they got to fighting against one another. Well, man, you read us out here, and look, they're not even afraid of us. They're coming down here singing. They're coming down here to tear us up. So, and they started fighting one another, kill one another off. When they got there, nobody had to lift a sword. Nobody shot an arrow. Nobody throwed a javelin. And he told them, he said, be ready to fight, but you're not going to have to. Stand still and watch me work. In other words, don't do anything. Do what I told you. He told them to praise the Lord. So they started praising God. You know, sometimes we get to worrying when we should be praising. We get to trying to figure out how God's going to do it when we should just be thanking him for what he's done, for how great he is, what he's going to do. Come on, anybody out there? Y'all gone home already. Now, praising will bring you an answer. Let me start to close this thing down. A missionary in China, years and years and years ago, back in the, and she contacted smallpox. There was no cure existed for the disease. She was in China, a long way from home, and we're talking about probably in the 1800s, early 1900s. And so they quarantined her to a room because smallpox is a very contagious disease. And her body was covered from the top of her head to the sole of her foot with the pox. And how many of you ever been vaccinated for smallpox? How many of you have a scar where it is? That's what that that actually was a smallpox deal that come up there, and you know. And so there she was, stricken with that deadly disease. No medical assistance, destitute, in a faraway country, given up to die. She didn't know what to do, so she began to fervently pray. And the Lord told her, said, you need to praise me. And then he showed her a vision of two baskets. And I guess it was on like one of these scales. You know these scales that you do it this way. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I don't know why it's a scale. And this one basket that had her smallpox in it and all of the kinds of troubles and trials, it was full, tests and trials, and it was down here, and the praise basket was up here. And the Lord, and it was only about half full. And the Lord told her, said, when the praise basket outweighs that basket, you'll be well. So she began to praise God. She praised him for everything she could think of, and she kept on praising. Over and over and over again, she praised God. She praised God for her healing. She praised God for what God had done for her. She praised God for her salvation. As she was in that quarantined room, and of course, with smallpox, there's high fever. And so as they heard her in there with these loud praises coming from the room, they thought it was just a woman delirious from fever, but she kept on praising. She kept on praising. She kept on praising. And pretty soon, after a day or two, the Lord showed her the praise basket was down here full and the other was up here. She walked out of that room without a scar, without a pox, completely healed, and she did nothing but praise the God. No, thank God. The Word of God says you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But nobody was there to lay hands on her. She simply praised God. Praise cure is the greatest cure that's ever known to mankind. And it doesn't cost you a cent. Learn to praise God in the midst of your biggest trial, in the middle of your biggest situation. Praise is so powerful that it will bring results. We need to remember that God, through Jesus Christ, has already defeated Satan. So quit magnifying Satan and start magnifying Jesus. Start praising Jesus. See, begin to praise God. He's the one. His word. Praise him for his word. Then you begin to see victory with your own eyes. If you want to get a hold of this powerful truth of praising God, it'll change your life. God will fight for you. He always comes through. You know, sometimes we need to learn to praise God. There's too many times we're praying and asking God when we should be praising God. Now, there's nothing wrong with praying. We need to pray. Hello? He said to come and ask. You don't receive because you don't ask. And he said to pray. But there's a time to praise. And we saw it right here in the Old Testament. If he did it in the Old Testament for his people, he will surely do it in the New Testament, the New Covenant for us, because the Word of God says, Paul says it, and that what happened in the Old Covenant happened as examples. What happened to the children of Israel happened as examples for us. Hello? There's an example of them winning by praising. So you need to get a hold of the fact that God will fight for you if you'll learn to praise him. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this? Amen. Come on, Anthony. We're going to stand up and we're going to begin to praise God tonight. I want you to think of something that you want to praise your way through to victory over. And we're going to just stand up. We're going to sing and praise God. How many of you got to know what I was talking to you about? Hallelujah. Praise. Praise. Praise the Lord. Come on, Anthony. Let's sing.
Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips. Ever be on
your praise will.
Your praise will ever be on my lips.
Thank you, Jesus.
You know, praise him, praise him, praise him in the morning.
Yeah, let's sing now. He's here. Praising God. Hallelujah. Most of us all know it, but we need to be reminded of it. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Bow your heads for just a moment. I never like to minister a service that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or to rededicate their life or have what I call a no-so experience. You know, I've run into people that they've gone to church all their lives, ever since they're a little kid, but they don't know whether they've ever accepted Christ in their heart or not, and that's what counts. Anybody tonight on any one of those three invitations, praise the Lord. You know, we believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here according to what the Bible says, not what some creed or doctrine says. It says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them the utterance. Anybody here want to be filled with the Spirit tonight? Let me see your hand. Praise God, praise God. Well, let's thank God. We all saved in this place tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I got a prayer cloth here. I believe it was for somebody that's in an accident, I think. So we're going to pray for this prayer cloth right now for somebody that was in an accident, car accident. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now. We lay hands on this, knowing that the Word of God says that they took handkerchiefs and aprons from the Apostle Paul when they were laid upon the sick and the afflicted. We thank you right now for completeness and wholeness in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen and amen and amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, praise God. Trust you got something out of this service tonight. Hallelujah. You got something? No? Okay. Praise the Lord. I don't know about you. I enjoy preaching to you. Now, I teach sometimes, but sometimes I get a little bit of preach on me like I did there. When I first did that praise cure service, I was still an evangelist, you know. An evangelist, he preaches hard and fast, you know. But the Lord started when he told me to be a pastor in 85, and gradually he's changed me more into a teacher rather than a preacher. You know, an evangelist, and somebody said, why they preach so hard and fast? It's because it's exploding on the inside and they're just trying to get it out. That's all. That's the way it is. That's the only explanation I ever been able to come up with. Hey, next Sunday night right here, 6:00. Come and enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday night right here at 6:00. Hey, bring somebody with you. Turn around, shake hands with us. Oh, Jane, take the first-time guest. We got a special gift for those guys. I forgot about that. Sorry. Hallelujah. Bring somebody with you, okay? I'm going to one door. Miss Lynette will be at another. We'll shake your hands as you go out. God bless you. Have a great week. Y'all be here next Sunday night. Craig will be here.